gather together to worship, it's important that you pray. There's, as you know, and this isn't a newsflash, but there's stuff that we can do that will strengthen and build our relationship with Christ, going to Bible studies, coming to church. And you know, the thing is, it's not going to make God love you more if you read your Bible. It's not going to make God love you more if you come to church, et cetera, et cetera. But it will make you, it will bring you into a better relationship with God. So if you don't have a Bible, I'll get you one. Somebody else will get you one. You can get yourself one. Get a Bible and read it. And it will deepen and strengthen your relationship with God. It's important. I was reading this morning, and I thought, I'm going to put it up, or have it put up on the screen, that we all read it here together this morning. And hopefully it speaks to you. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conversation. Next. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here. This is the New King James, or the King James, just as hard for me. In fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain conversations by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto for feigned love of the brethren. Love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Yeah. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Yeah. Another way that we draw close to God and learn about God is by listening and hanging out with others that are walking with Christ, i.e., or example, there was a conference here in town, and last week, Cheryl, if you'd like to say a few words about what you guys went to, give you a chance to do that now if you'd like to have it say a few words. But there was Cheryl and a few others went to Bethel last week, Redding, California. There's a church down there called Bethel something or other, Gospel or whatever. Thank you, Bethel Church. I'm making it harder than it is. So they went down there and they had some good stuff. Cheryl's going to say a few words about that. But they, so then a couple of them came from California here into Red Deer this past week. And they did a conference and did a bunch of teaching, and it was, a lot of it was on listening for God and hearing God in the workplace and at your business, and bringing that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the joy, the peace, and the healing and the mercy into the workplace, it was good. So. And there were some prophetic words spoken. I gotta read this to you guys. So, Buddy, one of the guys there got this word and this revelation, this vision of that old pub that we used to be in, or not that we used to be in, but that we were in. It used to be a pub, and that's where the conference was held. And he said that he saw this mantle of forgiveness over Red Deer, and what he saw was a lineup of people from the North Hill gates all the way downtown, and from South Hill gates lined up, coming for forgiveness. And letting go of bitterness and anger and just laying that aside and coming to that building for forgiveness, and that it was a place of forgiveness and a place of healing, and that the Holy Spirit's presence was there, and that people were getting healed, even being next door. Well, next door is not a very nice place, but people even next door, just being in that neighborhood, were getting healed. So that was, man, when Buddy was saying that, I was just, whew, it was lighting me up. It was good. Cheryl, you want to say a little bit about what drag a few friends up. Can't they walk up here on their own?
Yeah. Vicky probably has something to say, yeah. So we went to Bethel, and he should know where it is, he's been there, in Redding, California, 3 days driving, because we kind of took a diversion. But anyway, awesome sightseeing, but saw whales. Doug was driving. Whale! Okay. I thought I was going there to learn more about the Lord, because that's what we do when we go to conferences, right? We go there and we suck it all up. And when we were standing in line, there was all these prophets going around, and I had so many prophets on me and people praying for me, forever forgotten the building. I've never had that experience. I felt like I was walking into their living room, because we were treated with such love and respect. It was just blew me away. Just blew me away. And what the Lord is doing there is he's taking us to a different level of his love. I thought I knew it. So you think you know it? I'll tell you, you don't. There's more to him than you could ever imagine. So when somebody says to you, wow, isn't that powerful? You go, yeah, I know. No, you don't know. Because there's more. Because that was me. I get a little arrogant. No, I was just blasted by God, totally blasted, day after day after day after day. And he did some healing, he did some restoration for me, got me back on track, because I thought I was. Wasn't. But he straightened me out real good. And if you got any of you want to know about the love of God, I'm available to talk to. Because it's awesome.
Hi, everybody. It was an amazing 3 days, intense 3 days. Intense, yeah. You know, when I went away, I felt anxiety because there was a new place, wondering how things were going to be. And it was a stressful few weeks beforehand. And I was just going like, God, I hope you are going to lift this off of me, because I really don't like this feelings of depression that aren't me. So I went there. There was 5 prophets came to me in the first day, and it was only half a day. And then the next day, some more, and then the next day. And throughout those 3 days and even onward and still now, I feel peace and rest in Christ that I've never felt before. Yeah. And it's like a rest where nothing seems to matter, and you're still coasting, and when bad things come up on the windshield, like bugs come up on the windshield, they can't seem to come off, and they just come off easily. It's just like, whatever, it just feels so good. Praise God. Anyway.
Amen. Yeah, just to reiterate what Cheryl said, yeah, we were talking on the way back and, you know, what the God's teaching us down here. None of us got healed, by the way. We were all kind of hoping to get healed from arthritis and serious things. But that didn't happen, but we really got a touch from God's love. And just let no debt remain outstanding among you, but the fervent debt to love one another. That's kind of mixing up a couple of scriptures, but yeah, it's all about love. That's what the whole thing was about. And just one quick story. This prophetess was praying for Donnie, old Don, in lineup, and she's just praying over him. She went like that, eh? Don was just in his glory, eh? He goes, you got to know Don to really get that, but I just want to end with that. Praise God.
Okay, and then just one more here from Ray about another conference, again, different from what we were just talking about, a creation conference, and is God really the creator of the universe, or did we evolve from rocks, that kind of stuff? So, yeah, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I had a pleasure of attending a creation conference, 12-hour, 2 days, 24 hours in all, of hearing from PhD scientists, the highest you can go, from all over. They've studied all these prehistoric bones that were found, and of course, if they'd been millions of years, they'd be dust, right? Because from dust we came. Anyway, they're out to equip the church to give us knowledge and wisdom to counter these claims made by evolutionists, because evolution is just a myth. And as the Bible says, as we read last night, 1 Peter 3:3-4, I believe, about it's in the, you know, that's what we're countering is myths, and we have to have the truth, we know the truth, so we can tell the world. This creation conference is only every 3 years. That's the second time, at least that I know of, they've been here in Red Deer, and for $55, all that instruction, my gosh, it was mind-blowing. So I took a few notes, but I haven't gone over them, or else I'd be able to share more. But they'd be happy and willing to come out here and give us a little conference, a little presentation. But the bones of prehistoric man, Homo erectus, he interviewed, and they had many videoed interviews of these paleontologists. It says, if you saw Homo erectus walking in the streets of New York City, would you be surprised? No, he looks like a modern man. That's what he is a modern man. And all those ape skulls that they found, they were apes. They were dogs. But there's no in between. There's no progression. No evidence at all of progression to get from point A to point H, they called it, A to H. There was nothing there. So all they have this here, and then they put hair on the creature just to make it look. I mean, all they have is bones, but now they're finding a skull or bones of animals that they're dating back millions of years, yet there's still soft tissue in there. The earth is only 6,000 years old. It's not millions. So we have to know to be able to stand for the truth. And there's so much. And I've got videos I'd like to show as well, too. So maybe Thursdays, come to the kitchen.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So there's good stuff on YouTube about how, and that would draw us closer to God. There's good teaching that we can go to. There's good worship that we can participate in. There's the Word of God for you to delve into every day and take something from the Word of God for you to build your relationship with God, to draw you closer to God. Like I said before, I'll say it again just to make real sure, it's not going to make God love you more if you come to church every Sunday. He loves you. Coming to church every Sunday isn't going to change his love for you. but it'll change your love and your admiration and your devotion for him. So this might be a good time for me to be quiet, Stan. Oh, God, I pray and I thank you for the blessing that you have on my friend's life. And, God, I thank you for his willingness and his obedience to serve you and to serve us and to speak for you, God, to us. And, God, I just ask your spirit to speak to us. Let your spirit move, God, through the words that you give Stan. God, let your spirit move, that you would be honored, you would be glorified, and the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted high among us, and that our love for you this morning, God, would deepen and become a little bit more rich because of what your Holy Spirit is doing here this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being in this place and for moving among us. Oh, let the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ fill this room and fill every person in this place. Let the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ that passes understanding fill us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. God is in this place. You know that's true, right? There's such a joy. And it's really exciting to see all the different ways that, you know, we're hearing the testimonies, the different ways that God is teaching us. And one person might be taught from one kind of conference, one person might get something out of something else, but I'm just really grateful. There seems like there's a lot of things happening. Thank you, God, for that. Tonight, yes, there's going to be a worship time tonight at 7 o'clock. We don't know much about this fella except that he's a believer and that he is a worship leader. So if you want to do some more worship, come tonight at 7 o'clock. Pardon me? He was on 100 Huntley Street, so that means he must be good. We're going to open the Word of God today, and you know, my voice is a lot better than it was, so thank God for that. Just ask God. Would you just pray with me? Let's just join together. Just like Don said, Father, we love your Word. We want to grow in your Word. And just those two messages today already is just so much of what you've been confirming in my heart, that your word is how you speak to us. And the message that Cheryl brought and others too, that you love us. You have such a undying and a beautiful love for us, your children. And I pray that you'll remind us of that today, and that we'll draw into your presence, that we'll hear from your word, that we'll be encouraged, and that we'll be reminded that we belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to probably have to stop a couple times along the way just so I can have a drink here and there, but I'm just going to ask you to turn in Romans chapter 8 today. Romans chapter 8. Okay, stand up here a minute. See, this is the man why I... Come up here. You, yeah. They say, why are you wearing a suit jacket? Because I can't look worse than this guy, and it's hard. It's tough. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Remembering that we are learning about what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit lives in you, and he lives in me. And if that's true, if the Holy Spirit lives in me, that means that we have the ability to be led, that he brings us where he wants us to go, that he gives us sometimes prophetic words. Crystal and I were at that conference that took place at Lotus with those wonderful people, the teachers from Bethel. We learned so much, and we were able to even sort of experiment and try a little bit in the prophetic and learn how to develop those gifts. Yeah, that's good. Well, and it's just not my background. Like, we didn't learn that kind of stuff, the church that I went to. But just believing this, believing that the Holy Spirit is alive. And because he's alive, and he's actually a person who lives in me, he guides me and he directs me, and sometimes he might point me in one direction, and other times he might point me in another direction. And it's also giving and it's also receiving. Now, sometimes I need to receive from the Holy Spirit when someone comes to me and says, hey, I have something for you, or God wants you to know, you know, that you are his son, or whatever that word might be. So we just want to be a church. I think that's one thing we've agreed on. We want to be a church led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that's been our prayer, right? Some of you have that little piece of paper in your Bibles, you know, that says, Holy Spirit, I invite you to lead me today. Right? I have decided that I'm going to go where you go. And my eyes are open to see where you are leading. And that's our prayer. So Romans chapter 8, and I want you to notice as we read from Romans chapter 8, how similar it is to Galatians. We're going to read from two passages. And what it says about being led by the Holy Spirit. What does it say about us being led by the Holy Spirit? And it has to do with our identity, that our identity is that those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. That's what we're going to focus on today. Read it with me, and I'm going to read a little later on. I'm going to start in verse 11, actually. Verse 11 says this, and if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, and he is, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Did you get that? Spirit lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And here's the important part. I want you to just let this soak in. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Say that with me. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's good. And you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You received the spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We're just going to stop there. We cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of God testifies with my spirit and says, you're a son of God. You are a child of God. It's all about belonging. It's really God saying, you belong to me. You're precious to me. You're mine. And we cry out, because of the Spirit of God who lives in me, who lives in us, we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Now let's look at Galatians. Just turn to Galatians chapter 3 and listen to the similarity. And this is the only other time in the Scripture, other than when Jesus speaks to his Father as Abba, it's the only other time where we see the word Abba. We cry out, Abba, Father. I want to read it again. I want you to just notice the similarities between these two letters that Paul was writing, one to the Romans and one to the Galatians. Verse 26, chapter 3. He says that you are all sons of God. Does that sound familiar? What's your identity? You are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he's subject to guardians and trustees until that time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons, right? Because you are sons. Did you get that? And daughters. Because you are sons. God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. You know who he's talking to? Yeah. He's talking to me. He's talking to us. He's saying the same thing in both of these passages we read, both the letter that he wrote to the Galatians and the letter that he wrote to the Romans. He's just saying, you know what? You belong to God. You are his sons. You're not a slave. You are his sons. You are his children. We are the children of God. That is our identity. Our identity is that I'm not my own, but I belong to him. I belong to him, right? And because of that, there's a lot of things that are really common between these two passages. One of the main themes between these two passages is that because you're a son or because you're a daughter, you don't need to be afraid anymore. You don't need to live in fear. You don't need to live in condemnation. You don't, because you're no longer living according to the law. You're no longer living according to the letter that kills, Paul says, but you are now a daughter of the King. Your identity is now that you are a child of God, and all that fear has been removed because you're not condemned anymore. When we lived under the law, we could never make it. We could never do it. We could never be good enough. We could never keep all the thou shalt nots, right? And that's why Jesus came. He came so that he could claim us as his children. He says, you're my sons and you're my daughters. That's your identity. And I want you to think about that. I want you to believe that today. This is your identity. You are a child of God. You know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about, what our identity is. You know, I'm a mother, or I'm a father, or I belong to Leafs Nation. You know, I'm a Maple Leaf fan. We identify with lots of different things. I'm a steel worker. I go to the union, you know. But there's nothing in all of those identities that compares to the identity that I belong to the Father, that I am a son of God, that I have been purchased with his blood. Yeah. I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven. I have been saved by grace. And that he's got his thumbprint on me that says, you are mine. You belong to me, and I love you, and I will always love you, no matter what. No matter what, I will always love you. And if you are a son of God, the Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. So this is a given. This is a truth, okay? We are sons of God, and sons of God are led by the Spirit. We are led by the Holy Spirit. And that means we belong to God, and we have access to God. I want you to think about that. That everything that my Father has, I have access to, because he's my Father. When my kids come home, they bring their wives and they bring my grandchildren. I'm always glad when they bring my grandchildren home. And you know what they do? They make themselves at home. What did you say? They raid the fridge. Well, you're reading my mind. They raid the fridge, and you know what? They don't ask. They don't ask. The little grandkids, they're in there. My kids are in there. They raid the fridge. Like, they don't say, hey, Dad. And I'll tell you what, my sons come home, they want to eat mom's leftovers. They get in there and they just make a pile and they stick it in the microwave. They just want the leftovers, right? Because they belong to me, so they have access to the things that I have. It's the same is true for you, because you belong to the Father, and he says you're not a slave, but you are a daughter or a son. You have access to his fridge. Woo! Hallelujah. I made a big mistake. A long, long time ago. Well, it really wasn't a mistake, I guess, but I told my kids my PIN number. And now they'll come home. I got a son, they'll all do this, but they come home and suddenly I look at my wallet and I'm missing that little blue card in there. I'm going, where's that little blue card? But he still knows my PIN number. And he goes and gets groceries or sometimes buys a few extra things. And I know that's all about, we'll have another sermon someday about how you shouldn't spoil your kids, and that's probably not the smartest thing that Pastor Stan ever did in his life. But they know my PIN number, and all I'm telling you is that you sort of have the same thing with Father God. He gives you your PIN number. He says, you have access. You do. What do you need today? Because there's a lot of needs here, and we got a great group of people here today. We got a full church. Isn't that great? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Wow. But I want you to know that your Heavenly Father says to you, what do you need? What do you need from my fridge? What do you need from my storage room? What can I give you that will benefit your life? And I will give you good gifts. Now, sometimes we ask God for things and he's not going to give them to us. Because it says in the Bible that he only gives good gifts to his children. I've used this example before, so I'll just do it real quickly. When my oldest son was 11, he asked me if he could have a shotgun. I said no. Because that wasn't a good gift for him. Sometimes you ask God and he says, no, that wouldn't be best for you. But some of you are here today and you got needs and you know that God can fulfill those needs. And he's the kind of father, because he looks at you as a son, he says, I just want to know how I can be a father to you because I love you. You're not slaves, so stop living like slaves. There's that Emancipation Proclamation that set the slaves free, right? A long, long time ago. The word emancipation means this. It means that someone bought the legal right. And that's what, you're buying the legal right to that slave. When they were set free, the legal right of ownership went right back to the person themselves. That's what God has done for us in Christ. He has bought the legal right to your life. He's given it back to you. And he said, you're not a slave anymore. You are my daughter. And man, do I love you. Isn't that good? That's good. I love you. I've been feeling this so strongly through some of the stuff that's gone on and the conference, and I know today I just need to tell you this, how much I love you. I love you so much. I love this church. I love every one of you. I love what you've done in my life. I love how you support my wife and myself. I love how you pray for me. I love you so much, and I appreciate you, and I pray for you. But as much as I love you, God loves you so much more. And what the brother said earlier is really true, that we just need to continue to grow in that love for each other. And where that's weak or where that's fallen off or where we've grown offended with each other or we've written each other off and said, well, I don't need to have anything to do with that person, that needs to change because love is the only thing that's going to make a difference. If people are going to come to know this Jesus, who is our brother and who is the Son of God, they're going to come to know him because they're going to see the love that's in us. And if they don't see that, they won't be here and they won't believe it and they'll have no credibility. It'll have no credibility. It's about love. It's about love. And we cry out today, Abba, Father. I love that cry. It's the Abba cry. And like I said, Paul used it two times, in Galatians and in Romans. I want to spend a little time talking about the Abba cry, because that's the cry of a daughter. That's the cry of a son. When we look God in the eye, we have eye contact with our Father, and we say, Abba, Father. It's a term of identity, and we've kind of already talked about that, so I'm not going to carry on and do more about that. It just means you're a son, right? You don't say Abba unless you're really his son or really his daughter. So it's about identity, and it's also about affection. In fact, most of the time, whenever I've heard anyone talk about that word Abba, it's kind of, that's where it's been left to. It's just an affectionate term. It means daddy, right? You just say daddy, and that God, you have that kind of an intimate relationship. It's about the intimacy, and that's true. So it has to do with who you are, your identification, and it has to do with intimacy, that you can actually sit on his lap and say, Daddy, Papa, I'm your son. You know, how precious is that? How good does it get that God says, you're mine? You're mine. You can sit on my lap and I'm going to open up my storehouse. But even more importantly than the things that I have, I'm gonna have a relationship with you, right? And isn't that true? Like those of you who are parents, I want my kids to love me not because of the stuff I have or because I give them that little blue card with a PIN number, foolishly, I want my kids to love me, not because of what I do, but because of who I am. Do you understand that? You can be assured that our Father in heaven wants exactly the same thing. He wants you to love him, not because he's some big, you know, genie up in the sky that's going to give you three wishes. He wants you to love you. He wants you to love him because you really, he's your Father, because of who he is, not just what he can do for you. Not just what he can do for you. And so we cry out, Abba, Father. It's the cry of a child. It's the cry of the man or the woman who is led by the Spirit of God. When we're led by the Spirit of God, we just cry out, Abba, Father. One time, there's one other time in the Scriptures when the word Abba is in the Bible, in the New Testament. I've already told you about Romans and Galatians, and in both of those, it's like almost the same. It says we cry, it's a cry. We cry it out, Abba. The other time is when Jesus is in the garden. It's in Mark 14. When Jesus is in the garden, he's praying and he's in anguish and he doesn't want to go to the cross, and he says, Abba, Father, take this cup from me. Those are the only three times that Jesus or that in the Scriptures that we hear the word Abba. But now here's where this gets a little weird. Because I think there's a fourth time. And I can't prove it. So this is about me thinking. I'm not saying this is exactly what it is. But this is sort of, you know, God gives us imaginations, right? He gives us imagination so that we can dream and so that we can envision things that maybe aren't always particularly spelled out. Imagine this with me for a minute. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He is giving his life. He has suffered. He's just cried out those words, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then almost momentarily after that, maybe just 10 seconds or 15 seconds after that, this is what Matthew says. In Matthew 27, let's listen to these words. He cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. They didn't understand everything that was being said. Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with wine vinegar, and he put it on a stick. He offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. What do you suppose? Or when you use your imagination, you just think about it. You know, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. That was a very unusual thing for someone who died on a cross to do. Normally, if you die on a cross, you just hung there for a long time until you finally faded out of existence. You were quiet, you just suffered. Jesus died not with a whimper, not with a whisper, but with a shout. Why? Why was there a shout? Yeah, it was victory. Excuse me. The fact that Jesus shouted indicates, to me at least, that he said something. It wasn't just this big noise. He said something that probably wasn't understood because his mouth was dry and his lips were beaten up and there's noise going on. But because he didn't die with a whimper or with a quiet little whew, he went out with a shout that says to me that he was trying to communicate something. He said something. And if he shouted, I wonder what you think. If someone's dying and they die with that shout, what might that sound like? I'll tell you what it wouldn't sound like. I don't think it would sound like a bunch of consonants. You know, he wouldn't be hanging up there going, bee, 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 and I'm done. Right? It's probably a vowel. That's what usually happens when we groan in pain. It's either a, oh, or an, ah, right? That's the way I envision it. Again, you don't need to believe me. You might say, well, you're way off on a different tangent here. But I imagine this. I imagine Jesus hanging on the cross, and he suffered, and he just finished saying, by the way, remember, this is like 10 seconds ago, Father, why have you forsaken me? And then he dies and he cries out, Abba. Could that have happened? Could that have happened? The two times that Paul says, Abba, he uses the word kradzo. You cry it out. You cry out, Abba. And it's exactly the same word that is on the cross when Jesus cries out. He kradzo. And you're right, we don't know exactly what he said. But he may very well have cried out. And then he went to the Father. It says that then he gave up his spirit. And I want to explore that too for a couple minutes. What does that mean? What does that mean when we cry out, Abba? Because you know what he's really saying is, he's saying this, where are you, Daddy? And if you don't believe what I'm saying about, you know, that he says Abba, you certainly believe it from what he said earlier. You know, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's really saying, where are you, Father? Daddy, where are you? Papa, where have you gone? And I don't know about you, but I relate to that. I know what that feels like. There's times you feel abandoned. There's times you felt rejected. There's times you felt like you don't add up. That's also the cry of Abba. It's for those of us who have been left orphaned. Those of us who've been rejected. Those of us of whom it has been said, you're never going to amount to anything. Or you're a loser, or you're just an addict. Or you're just whatever you fill in the blank in. You're just a liar. You're just an adulterer. You're just a thief. And we've owned those labels and we've put them on ourselves as if they're actually ours when they're not. Right? Because that's not who I am. That might be who I was. Right? That might be who I was, but now I'm a son of God. Now I'm a child of the one true King, right? But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, I mean, you know the hardest part of the cross? It wasn't the death. It wasn't even the shame. The hardest part of the cross was that Jesus was separated from Father. That was the hardest part. The death wasn't that hard. I mean, it was hard, don't get me wrong. But he knew he was going to win. He knew he was going to defeat death. He knew that that was never going to be a question. The hard part, the hardest part for Jesus on the cross is that he was separated from God the Father. Because that's what sin does. Sin separates us from God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were banished from the garden. And that's what we face in our lives. When we sin, we are separated from God. It's why we need Jesus. We need Jesus because he bridges that gap and we're no longer separated. Jesus was God. He was fully human. He was fully divine. But when he hung on the cross, the Father abandoned him. He had to. For Jesus to defeat sin, he needed to be separated from Father and from Holy Spirit, and he was left there hanging all alone. All alone. That's true. Because he needed to experience the intense separation from God so that you and me, so that we would never need to be separated from God ever again. Man, that's good news. That's good news. Because this is what I'm saying. This is what I believe the Word of God teaches us today. Is because you are a daughter. You're never going to be apart from God again. You never need to worry that he's going to abandon you or that he's going to just dislike you or he'll disown you or he'll take you out of the will. He'll never do that. He won't. And how many of us, and this is a hard question, but how many of us haven't struggled with rejection in our lives? Don't lie, because I know you guys. I know you guys. It's something we all share in common. We've all been rejected. You don't need to think very long back into your history. It'll come up. You go, wow, I was really rejected by my dad back then. Or I was rejected by that husband who left me with the kids. Or I was rejected when this happened. Every one of us has a story of rejection. Every one of us has a story where we've been really told you don't add up. You're not good enough for me. Marriages that have fallen apart, or some marriages that have survived through adultery or through cheating or through other things, a lot of times what's been communicated in that is, you're just not enough for me, even though that might not be the intention. And we felt rejected, we felt bitter, we felt like, man, I'm just not good enough. I can never be good enough. I am not redeemable. We felt that. I'm lonely. You know, that's where loneliness comes from. That's sometimes where depression comes from. It's because we think that we're all by ourselves and no one really loves me. And so we're rejected. And we're abandoned. And sometimes we even cry that same cry, Abba, why have you abandoned me? Where are you? I pray to you and you don't show up. I ask you things and you never answer my prayers. I want to be healed and it doesn't take place. Where are you? Am I the only one who sometimes has that angry prayer? Good. Where are you, God? You know what God wants you to know today? This is so important. He wants you to know, I am right here. I am not like your father who abandoned you. I'm not like your mother who gave you up. I am not like your ex-husband who treated you with disrespect and hatred. I am not like that. I am a father to you, and you are my daughter, and you are precious to me, and I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. Isn't that what Jesus said? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Another place he says, I'm going to be with you always. Even to the very end of the age, I'm going to be with you. You cannot get rid of me. I'm right beside you. I'm right behind you. I go ahead of you. And get this. I live inside you. So if you think you can shake me off or you can dodge me, you can't. Because I am your God, and I'm going to continue to be your God to the very end. Right to the very end. Right to the very end. So, yeah, there's times that we cry the same Abba cry. And there's times we wonder, you know, God, where are you? Papa, where are you? I needed you. Hear his voice today when he says, I'm right here. I never left you. Sometimes, you know, some of the fighting that's going on in our marriages or in some of the relationships we have here or other places, sometimes that's happening because you've been so rejected. You get two people who are rejected and they haven't dealt with that rejection and they haven't handed it over to Jesus. Man, you got a bad formula for not success. Right? Here's what happens. We're hurt by that rejection. When we're hurt by that rejection, we want to hurt others. I'm going to be careful because I know how hard you can hit. Just think about whether that describes you this morning. You've been hurt, you've been wounded, and you lash out, you bite back. Why do we do that? Because it's the only self-defense mechanism we have. I got to protect my heart, I got to protect myself. I've been hurt so many times. I got an orphan spirit, and I'm going to just, I got to fight back. I can't accept it. It comes out of the brokenness, it comes out of the bitterness, it comes out of the fact that we're rejected. You've been rejected, and we all have that. I have rejection in my life. It results a lot of times in the behavior that happens sometimes. I had dad issues. I'm not going to say a lot about it because I love my dad. I decided, how many years ago? I don't know, 15, 16 years ago. I decided I'm going to call my dad every Sunday night, and I do. I love my dad. I phone him every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, so if you're trying to get a hold of me then, you won't be able to. And I tell him I love him every single time. But that wasn't always that way. My dad was strict. My dad worked 15 or 16 hours every single day trying to make his business work. And he had his own issues, okay? That's why I'm not blaming him. I played sports. I played hockey. I played through the leagues, and I ended up playing a little bit in university, or I should say college in the States. My dad never once saw me play, not one time. And I didn't like it. I resented that for a long time. Why can't you come to a game? Why do every time, I'm 10 years old, I literally had to drag the bag, you know, like a mile, all by myself, or hopefully get a ride from one of my friends, right? My dad never came. And that hurt. I felt rejected. He never came when I graduated from university. He didn't show up, nor did my mom. They didn't know. This sounds really crazy. And again, I love my dad, okay? He had his own stuff to figure out. You understand that? He didn't know my kids' names, or at least how to spell them, until they were like 10 years old. They never sent Christmas cards or birthday cards. They never came to any of my kids' graduations because there were other things that were more important. It's true, my kids have weird names, so you can let them off the hook a little bit with that. But you know what? That hurt. And Crystal, you know, I would tell her that I was hurt by that, and she'd go, I know. She kept just pointing me to forgiveness and pointing me to the cross and pointing me to, yeah. How many people know that I'm a lucky guy, right? All I'm, you know, I could go on that, but the point is, that's what rejection is. That's what rejection really is. And my story is no different than most of yours. You got a story. You've been hurt. Many of you way worse than I've ever been hurt. You've been rejected, and you've a hard time accepting the love of the Father. And unfortunately, all I have is words today. And I have the embrace of the Heavenly Father who just wants you to hold him. And he wants to hold you. He loves you. He says to you today, you're not a slave, you're not a hooker, you're not a drunken Indian, you're not a liar, you're my son. I died for you, that's what Jesus said. I died for you because I love you so much. I don't see you in any other way but through that blood. You are accepted, you are loved, you are a child. And because you are a child, I put my Holy Spirit in you, and I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you in places that you'll never imagine. But it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be freeing. It's going to be victory. The psalmist said in Psalm 27, he said this, don't hide your face from me, O God. Have you ever said that before? Don't hide your face. Don't turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Now hear this. For though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. You say amen? Even though you've been rejected or orphaned by your father or your mother, your Father in heaven receives you. And then one more thing that he says here. This is in Isaiah 49. He says this, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she has born? Although she may forget you, I will never forget you, says the Lord your God. You see, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Amen. You can just start putting that song on. I'm going to let it play a little in the background as I kind of wind things down here, but I'm going to encourage you today to own your sonship or your daughtership today. I don't want you to leave today without saying, I am a child, I belong. I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter what everyone else says. It doesn't. It doesn't. Those who hate you, those who don't respect you, those who are against you, let's stop listening to them. Let's start listening to what God thinks about you. Because he loves you. And the Son who sets free is free indeed, right? I'm going to end with this little story. Because sometimes we feel like we don't know where God is. Or maybe you're like me and you go, I don't see you. I want to see you, God. I really do. I want to see you, God. And that's that cry, you know, of Jesus on the cross. Really what he's saying is, I want to see you. Abba, Papa, where are you? There's this story that I think about sometimes when I'm going through those struggles. It's a story about a family who was in a two-story house, and the house was on fire. And the smoke was just billowing up, and the dad had gotten everyone out of the house except his little seven-year-old son. His seven-year-old son was in the balcony of the second story, but there was smoke everywhere. And his father stood on the ground level. And he said, Jeremy, jump. Jeremy, jump. Daddy's here. And Jeremy said, but I can't see you. Daddy, I don't know. I don't see you. He said, oh, honey, I see you. You can jump. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We just cry out, Abba, Father. You are our Father. Would you just pour your love into our hearts today, Father? And would you lead us by your Spirit? Would you remind us today that our identity is not in our past, but it's in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's in the cross. Would you remind us today that even though we might not see you, you are so there. You are so there. And God, I just pray today, and we all pray today, for anyone who's here this morning and who feels that loneliness and who is just overshadowed with rejection. We feel like we've never been able to add up to anything. We've never been good enough. But in the name of Jesus, we break that right now. Can we agree on that? In the name of Jesus, we break that right now. In the name of Jesus, we declare that everyone in this room is a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm chosen, not forsaken. Let's stand up. Let's sing this out. Yeah.
a big hand. You shout to God. Hallelujah. I am chosen. I am chosen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, we're going to end this way. I want you to just put your hand up and not to be afraid. Not everybody. Just hold on. I got to explain this a little better, apparently. If you need prayer today, or you're just feeling I've been abandoned or I've been alone, this is really resonating. It's touching a chord in your heart. Would you just put your hand up now? You put your hand up? Okay. God's speaking to you today. And as we sing this song one more time, I'm just going to ask, just keep your hands up. Don't be afraid. This is really important. Some people are going to come around you, and they're just going to pray. They're going to pray quietly, or they're going to pray a little bit in your ear and say, you know what? You are a child of God. You belong to Jesus. I want you. So put your hand up. You guys start gathering around some of those who got their hands up. There's a bunch in the back. Everybody, come on. We're a family. Let's not be afraid. Stand around, and we're going to sing this one more time. You are not abandoned. You are not rejected. Come to those. There's people right here. Please stand around them. Keep your hands up so that we make sure we're praying for you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you see us as sons and daughters of the King. Thank you, Lord, that we are who you say we are. Amen. Just play it again. Let's sing it. We're going to sing this song over you.
At the table, right? This is where you sit.
at that great banquet feast, because you're my daughter, because I love you. Cry out to Abba. Abba, Father. A big hand. Yeah. And while we're doing it, just cry out, Abba. Say it with me. Abba. Abba. Father. Abba. All right. You know you belong, right? You know you're loved. You are loved by the Father. Put your hands up. Receive his blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you today and give you his peace. You are loved by God. Amen.